western storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today is July 16th, 2021. We celebrate the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And with this, our dedication for our show today is for our Blessed Mother Mary. And this is important, my friends, because the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel was instituted in the late 14th century. And it's a commemoration of the rule of the Carmelite order 100 years earlier. And we talked heavily about the feast day in our last program. But I would like to share with you basically a great story about a pilgrimage we had to the National Shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel up in Newburgh, New York. This was a bus trip we had with about 57 people. And it was a phenomenal trip in that our bus was full. And on the bus, we prayed the rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And we had a beautiful dedication of prayer, really, to some of the intentions of our people on board. And this was a great pilgrimage to, again, honor our Blessed Mother Mary. And the Carmelite friars actually provided lunch for us. We had a beautiful trip up, and when we arrived there, we had mass, and we had luncheon with breaded chicken and mashed potatoes, peas and onions, and a nice salad. We also had a beautiful birthday cake for our Blessed Mother Mary, and it was just a wonderful trip. And during the trip, we had a woman on board who actually had some challenges with her daughter-in-law who was unable to get pregnant. And I think I've shared the story before, but this is important because it is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And, you know, the brown scapular is associated with Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and it was presented by Our Lady to St. Simon Stock, the then Father General, on July 16th in the year 1251. And Our Lady gave St. Simon Stock a scapular for the Carmelites with the following promise, saying, "Receive, my beloved son, the habit of thy order. This shall be to thee and to all the Carmelites a privilege, and whoever dies clothed in this shall never suffer eternal fire. It shall be a sign of salvation, a protection in danger, and a pledge of peace." And so I give you that information, my friends, because, again, you know, the Lord gives us our Blessed Mother Mary to help us through life and to help us in challenging times. And we had a woman from South Philadelphia on our trip whose daughter-in-law was unable to get pregnant. Her son and daughter-in-law had tried for over 2.5 years and were unable to have a child. And so this was one of the sore points for that family at the time, as they were unable to, you know, bear a child. And so during a trip, we prayed for her intentions on the way up on the bus, dedicated the rosary to her. We also, on the altar, were handing out scapulars, the priest and I were, after the mass. And when this woman from South Philadelphia came up, you know, the Spirit told me to give her another scapular for her daughter-in-law and her son. And I followed her back to the pew and gave her that scapular. Well, I just tell you that, you know, it was a beautiful trip. And on the way home, we prayed again for her daughter-in-law to have a child. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, with the help of our Blessed Mother Mary, that our Lord would bless her with a child. And about 3 months later, this woman was on our pilgrimage to EWTN in Birmingham, Alabama. And as I arrived at the international airport in Philadelphia, my coordinator from South Philly told me that this woman had something to tell me. So I went up to her and she was crying. I said, "What's wrong?" And she says, "Oh, you know, nothing is wrong. I just have some good news to tell you." And I said, "Well, you know, what is it?" She says, "My daughter-in-law is pregnant 3 months." And she continued to weep tears of joy, because truly they had been blessed with a miracle in that her daughter-in-law and son were going to have a child. And so through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the Lord blessed that family with a child 9 months later from our visit to the shrine of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Newburgh, New York. And it was just a beautiful testimony to share with you today, my friends, because it's all about faith. And we talk about it often. And as we celebrate, you know, the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I ask you to share your intentions, your desires within your heart with our Blessed Mother Mary, so that our Lord can bless your intentions. And like we saw in this family, they were incredibly, you know, touched by the gift of a child, which is so powerful, you know, within a family. It brings a lot of love into the family. And for that mother and husband who were young in their 20s and blessed with that child, it's truly a faith increaser to be really the recipients of a gift of a child, the gift of a miracle after trying for 2.5 years unable to have a child. So once again, I share that with you with the hopes that you too will entrust your intentions, your desires, your wishes, hopes, and dreams to our Lord and our Blessed Mother Mary. Very powerful. But one of the great pilgrimages that we had in our pilgrimage journeys within My Father's Vineyard, our nonprofit organization, since March 1999. And we had many beautiful trips. That was one of the highlights, without a doubt. And we look forward to, in the future, doing more pilgrimages with, you know, some of our followers with Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio and some of the other things that we do and have done for more than 20 years in prison ministry. But for right now, my friends, we're going to take a moment to transition into our readings for the upcoming weekend, the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And as we get into our first reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6, we're going to share with you the wonderful Word of God. And here it is. Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter the flock of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds who shepherd my people, who have scattered my sheep and driven them away. You have not cared for them, but I will take care to punish your evil deeds. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I have driven them, and bring them back to their meadow. There they shall increase and multiply. I will appoint shepherds for them, who will shepherd them, so that they no longer fear and tremble, and none shall be missing, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous shoot to David. As king, he shall reign and govern wisely. He shall do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah shall be saved. Israel shall dwell in security. This is the name they give him: the Lord our justice. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Jeremiah today, my friends, we hear the Lord talking through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says this: "Woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter my flock." And if you look around today, my friends, who is it that is misleading the flock? Who is scattering the flock, defocusing the flock? We have responsibilities, my friends, as priests, pastors, bishops, deacons, religious, and lay people to bring our family, friends, and neighbors to the Lord the best that we can, to make an impact on each and every person. We have to be careful how we proceed day in and day out, that we're not defocusing our children, but we are keeping them focused on the Word of God and the laws that God has put forth. Very, very important. And the Lord says this, you know, again in the book of Matthew: "Do not mislead the children. For anyone who misleads the children, it will be better to have a millstone tied to his neck and thrown into the ocean than to mislead the children." This is so important, because God expects that we will do the right thing for our kids all the time. And there are great examples of people who mislead the children. And we've seen it through manipulation, through sports and in education. We see people who are basically rewriting history, extracting the Word of God from the classroom, from the courthouse. We see it all the time, my friends, that there are people who have an agenda out there who don't want to include God's ways and his path. This is important. And we've got to do whatever we can to ensure that we continue to bring the Lord's message into each venue. Very important. And the Lord says this: "I will appoint shepherds for them who will shepherd them." And he uses the name the Lord of Justice. And justice is so important, because there are many places where there's an injustice, and God knows. And Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, injustice has to be countered with justice. Okay, this is important, that we don't, you know, allow it to continue to grow as injustice. We have to put a stop to injustice, to bring justice wherever we can. For many years working in prison, we've seen a lot of injustices where people were taken advantage of by people in prison or in the courthouses, police departments. For sure, there are people out there with second agendas. And by far, there are wonderful people in the world. I truly believe that there are more good people in the world than people with that second agenda. However, we have to, when we see it, we have to put a stop to it and to bring justice. It's one of the great benefits of being in the Wings program for many years, is to help to bring justice to a situation where there's injustice, and to bring honesty and truth into a case, and to not allow the lie to continue to live and to grow, but to put an end to it. Very important. In the Wings program, we've seen many people who were misled in the area of drinking and drugs, people who were taught by their parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents on how to drink, how to smoke marijuana, how to sell drugs. They've been mentored into these areas. We've seen people who are truly mentored on how to steal, how to commit burglaries, you know, and we've seen a lot of physically abused inmates who shared their stories about how they grew up. And again, you know, the Lord says, you know, woe to the shepherds who mislead and scatter my flock. So in a way, we all are like shepherds, especially if we have children. We're guiding and directing, we're teaching, we're showing the way as kids grow. It's a wonderful message, but we've seen in the Wings program great examples of this. We had a gentleman who was given testimony in one of our schools who shared with us that he started drinking at the age of 7. And by age 10, he was drinking cases and rolling, you know, joints, as we say, or marijuana cigarettes. And this was the mentorship he received. And his father said to him, it's okay to do it as long as you do it here in our home with us. Can you imagine? Age 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, being mentored by someone who had that philosophy. And needless to say, it took many years of addiction and rehabilitation to get cleaned up from that kind of philosophy as the foundation on which this gentleman grew up. But I share that with you because there are people out there who lead the children in the wrong direction. And there are people out there, even within the church, who need to tighten up the message, to refocus, and to raise the standards, because everything is not acceptable to the Lord. It's very simple. And Moses says this in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, to be careful to do exactly as the Lord God tells you to do, to not deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as he tells you to do so that you can live a life of increase, to live and prosper. So everything is not acceptable. And there are things going on today in the world that truly need to be opposed and terminated. There are things, philosophies that are being, excuse me, there are things and philosophies that are being put into law in our schools. Just this week, the National Education Association, you know, came out as a proponent, okay, of all of the things that we see within America today that oppose God. Truly, and this is a national organization that oversees, you know, the quality of education, the type of education that goes out to our schools, to all of our public schools. And, you know, they're now a great proponent of the critical race theory and the LGBTA, all kinds of philosophies. And they're going to support all that. And I want you to think about how your kids are growing up, my friends. Who's teaching them in the schools? What is the curriculum? Exactly, specifically, what is the curriculum that they will have to embrace to be, you know, a student in that public school? It's fair to say that today, you know, I would greatly advocate, as I have for many years, for school choice and to help to get our kids back into Catholic schools, private schools, to give them an opportunity to embrace the Word of God. And this is important. We know how difficult it is to get people to embrace the school choice, allowing parents to put their kids and their tax dollars towards a different school, okay? But this is the world we're living in today, and we have many great schools out there. However, if there are entities out there who are redesigning curriculums, classes, courses, and lowering the standards for our students, our children, isn't it time that we look to an alternative to ensure that our kids are getting God's messages, God's ways, His morals, His values and ethics on a daily basis? Because kids are going to school 5 days a week, 186 days a year. And whatever, you know, they're being taught is what they're going to, you know, embrace. It's up to us to, you know, help them to be more conservative versus more liberal, where everything is accepted. Things like selecting their own genders in elementary school. Can you imagine? You know, this is important, my friends, and there's no time like the present to make a decision, even if it costs more money to send your child to school. Isn't your child worth it? Think about the money sometimes we spend or even waste in different areas throughout the year. Isn't it time that we spend more money on our child's education to ensure that they're not being misled and they're not being taught by shepherds who are scattering the flock, but they're focusing the flock, keeping them in a tight group, helping them to, you know, plan for the future, you know, for family life, education, community service. It's all important, but that their faith is growing. And again, that they're not being misled. You have a say, you have a choice. And this, it may cost a little bit of money. It's more of a sacrifice, but isn't it worth it? Isn't your child worth it? It's one of the great messages we see for today. And this is important, my friends, because, you know, we have seen in the WINGS program where children suffer greatly through incarceration, through addiction, and in rehab programs. We have heard story after story of how people were growing up. It's up to us to, you know, really raise the standards, tighten up the reins, so to speak, and pull them back in and give them access to better schools, better philosophies, and the Word of God. Very important. In the WINGS program, my friends, we've also seen people misled in the area of drugs. We've had numerous people who were taught by friends on how to do drugs. Sarah Benica was one of our WINGS women who was on our show here at Finding God in Prison. And she shared her story. And it was an amazing story on how, you know, she wanted more friends and grew up in Philadelphia, but went across the river to Camden, New Jersey, and met a guy and became part of a group. And this guy introduced her to drugs, alcohol. He introduced her to sex, taught her how to panhandle, taught her how to live in abandoned buildings, taught her how to be a prostitute. And Sarah's story was incredible. And, you know, and I'll tell you that her story is actually on our pod and available for you to listen to. And she had been, you know, raped many times. She had been, you know, in bad situations as a result of taking drugs and ended up in a very bad spot. But in the end, she died after, about 4 or 5 months after giving her testimony in schools with us in the WINGS program, and also being here on the radio at Holy Spirit Radio and giving that testimony. And she was actually beginning to write a book. But she was taught and she was misled. and she followed the wrong people. And she wanted to come to many more schools. She said, Mr. Montone, this was a great day, a phenomenal day. When is the next time we can go out? This is going to be part of my, future, to go and to tell my story, to help kids to avoid what I lived. Unfortunately, she passed. But the story goes on through us and through Holy Spirit Radio. And we celebrate her life as the Lord, woke her up, gave her her faith, and put her into the hands of good people, including her family, after being in the hands of bad friends who misled her. It was an incredible story, how Sarah was actually up in New York and with a drug dealer boyfriend who taught her again how to be a prostitute. And they actually stole drugs from a drug dealer and a couple of weeks later went back to the same guy. Well, she ended up on the 17th floor of an apartment building chained to a radiator and was abused and beaten. And she was rescued by a SWAT team in New York City. And later on, I met her, and she told me this story, which is unbelievable that she survived this. But I just tell you that there are other children out there, teenagers, who are in the hands of the wrong people. They're being impacted. They're in a circle of influence that's a negative impact to their futures. And it's up to us, again, to look in to see what our kids are doing and to find out where they're going, who they're with, and what they're up to so that they don't get caught in a bad position. We have many kids with DUIs, suspended licenses, who are on probation in the courts right here in Bucks County. We have many kids who have made poor decisions on a Friday or Saturday night with their friends. And, some of them have used the excuse that they're going to do a sleepover at my friend's house and end up driving around through the middle of the night with their friends drinking. Be careful what you accept as the truth from your kids. Investigate it. Look into it. Let's not lower the standard and allow everything to be okay, because we can end up losing a child during the middle of a night. Only bad things happen as the night goes on, because there's more drinking, more partying, more car accidents. Things take place late at night. It's up to us to keep our kids in a safe position. And I just give you that message, my friends, because we've seen for over 25 years, an abundance of true life stories of tragedy. And I want you to benefit by some of the things we're saying today, which are so important. And in the Wings program, we had a lot of moms who were involved with the Wings program, moms who lost children to the streets of Philadelphia and surrounding counties through gunshots and overdoses, car accidents, mistakes. And, we had a mom who had lost two sons to the streets, one to a gunshot, one to an overdose. And she had called me and asked me, if her son could be in our program, because he's at CFCF within the Department of Corrections, the Karan Framholt Correctional Facility. And I said, well, what's his name? And tell me about him. Well, he was one of three sons, and the other two were lost to the streets within the last couple of years. It's her last son. And I said, of course, I'll get him into the program today. And that afternoon, that gentleman was in our program. Matthew was his name. But I just tell you that woman had suffered tremendous sadness and depression as a result of losing two sons. So we have to be proactive, not reactive, but proactive. We cannot accept anything as being okay when our kids want to go somewhere or do something. We've got to look in and see what is going to, you know, go on for the rest of the evening, the night. Where are they going? Who are they with? What is their circle of friends? This is important, my friends. And let us not, take this lightly, but it's a great message to bring, more accountability to family life right here in Philadelphia and surrounding counties. I want to move to our second reading now from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. And once again, this is from St. Paul, who is, you know, just so powerful, who gives us tremendous guidance and directions. And here it is, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, in Christ Jesus, you were once far off and have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through the flesh, abolishing the law with its commandments and legal claims, that he might create in himself one new person in place of the two, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile both with God in one body through the cross, putting that enmity to death by it. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the book of Ephesians, the Lord tells us through St. Paul that we became near by the blood of Christ. Yeah, the Lord shed his blood. He gave every drop of blood until he died, you know, so that we can be closer to our Lord, so that we can have access to eternal life, eternity with our Lord and our Father in heaven. It's by his blood that we have access to eternal life. And this should always be near to us, this information, to be aware that the Lord gave his life. I don't know anyone else who gave their life for me, okay, and given me access to eternal life. I can look back on my childhood and tell you that my mom, who worked 6 days a week, gave it all. She gave her sweat and worked hard as a single mom to raise two kids and to keep us in Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School and to make sure that we were guided and directed the right way to go. She gave it all. Today, 91. She'll be 91 this year on December 2nd and in a nursing home, challenged with some confusion. But a woman who gave it all for her kids. I can remember going to work with her on some Sundays to make a little extra money as she worked with Barasini Candies down on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue to do a little extra work to make a little extra money to provide for her children. She gave it all. And like the Lord who gave his all, okay, mom did whatever she could do for her kids. Well, the Lord and our Father in heaven have given it all. The Lord gave every drop of blood until he died at the top of the cross, so that we, as children of the King, could live a good life, could be with our Father in heaven, could be forgiven for our sins. I don't know anyone else who gave what the Lord gave in my years of life here on earth. We need to remember this and be aware of the value of that information. Because for so many who don't believe, they don't benefit from having the Lord. They're non-believers, atheists, agnostics, people who are stubborn, obstinate, unwilling to accept or submit to Christ Jesus. And they'll have to deal with that knowledge that they had opportunity to accept, to embrace this information and chose not to. It's the Lord's way of doing things. He gives us free will. We have to submit to embrace God's way of doing things and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to be obedient to the Lord and His Father. It's important. And in the book of Ephesians, my friends, it tells us that Jesus preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. And if you were away from church or away from the Lord, where your belief in God was stagnating or regressing, you know, the Lord's message of peace is very powerful. Whether you're near or far off, He gives us that peace. He wants us to have peace and to not take it lightly, because if we don't have peace in our minds, we have something else. We might have anxiety and fears, depression. We might have jealousy and envy and selfishness and bitterness, that spirit of unforgiveness. The Lord wants us to have peace, so He preached peace to everyone. It's powerful. And that is one of the great messages for us through our Blessed Mother Mary, to pray for peace within our own hearts. And when we have peace within our own hearts, we can bring that peace to other people. The Lord said often, "Peace be with you." Peace be with you to the apostles and our Blessed Mother. He always wanted to have peace. In the world today, there's such a lack of peace. It's incredible. But it's always been that way. There will always be issues, anti-godly philosophies, cultures that don't bring the peace, but they bring division. They bring and foster anxiety, depression. And those cultures and countries are throughout the world. But right here in America, we have a lot of things that are going on that don't bring peace to people, but they bring another message. They're not fostering peace. They're bringing fear and anxiety and control. They're not bringing God's messages. This is important that we do what we can to bring it to our own families, to our children, to our neighbors, in whatever ways we can do it. If you're a teacher, you bring it to your classroom. You do what you can to bring the peace. That's one of the great messages that God gave us. And there's great value in peace, my friends, because if you're living with something other than peace, you probably have a lot of stress in your life, living with anxiety. I had a cousin who told me she was living with anxiety for close to 20 years. I couldn't believe it. Living with fears, anxiety. met a woman once in a Wings program who was going to counseling for 10 years. Just incredible. And the counselor would see her on a weekly basis. And, you know, problems have to be solved. Some counselors will carry patients because it's a source of income. Our job in a Wings program is to bring you the word of God, the peace of God, the love of God, to solve those problems swiftly so you can move on with peace. Because if you're living week to week without peace, you're missing out. You're missing out. We need to desperately bring peace to other people. So when you visit with other people, whoever it may be, family, friends, neighbors, kids in the classroom, do you bring them peace? Or are you bringing them something else? Are you bringing them fear? When you go to your mother's home, are you bringing the peace? Are you bringing a smile, a warm, kind word, an embrace, a great hug and kiss? Or are you bringing fear, coldness, anger? Are you bringing envy, jealousy, bitterness, hatred, lust, pride, prejudice, the superego? We have to get to the point where we're bringing the peace to every conversation. Every time you see someone, you try to bring the peace. And this is important, my friends. And I'll tell you what, I had the opportunity to go out to Wichita, Kansas, and met some of the most wonderful people there at the hotel. And people who were bringing me peace. Also in Dallas, Texas. People who brought me peace while I was away from the family. Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. I had the opportunity to meet some of the most wonderful people there. God-fearing people. And there were good people around the world who bring peace to other people. What are you and I bringing to the table of life, my friends? Are we bringing too much pride or ego where we can't even say good morning to another person? Hold a door for another person? It happens every day. Are we taking the time to say good morning? Thank you. I appreciate you. It means a great deal. I tell you, this is something we have to think about and not take lightly, because God hears every word that we say, and it's important. Let's move into our gospel reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 34. And here it is. The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity to eat. So they went off into the boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns and arrived at the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, my friends, it says that the Lord's heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And today we see the importance of the shepherds out there who are called to ministry, to give a great message each and every week that will carry the flock, that will motivate the flock, inspire the flock, help them to refocus, to raise the standard in their lives, to solve problems. The message of the gospel is so important, and we only have a short moment within the Holy Mass to capitalize on the Word of God and to bring that message, that homily, to the people as priests and deacons, to get that message across. But the Lord's heart was moved with pity because he saw the people, that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And that's what you see today, my friends, in the streets of America and throughout the world. You see very often people are running wild in the streets, doing whatever they want to do. No one is shepherding them. Everything is acceptable to them. They want to be accepted no matter what, through this inclusion philosophy with no standards. Yes, no standards. For everything is impossible. You know, the Lord says to love one another, but he also calls us, you know, to live a certain way, to morals, values, ethics, and principles that are conducive for his way of going, his way of living, his lifestyle. Moses gave those beautiful commandments to the people, and he says, be careful to observe all the commandments I enjoin on you today. So we have to be careful so we don't end up in a bad place, so we can receive the blessings of obedience from God. They don't come automatically. We've got to believe in God and be obedient to God to get them. This is important. But there are sheep with no shepherd who are running wild. Are you one of those sheep? We were all there at one point, myself included. Absolutely. But the Lord woke me up. The Lord has woken you up. Now it's time to follow the shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says this, my friends, that the Lord began to teach them many things. Jesus was a teacher. Everybody refers to him from time to time as teacher. He's always teaching the way we should go. He never gives up on anyone, and he's always teaching to get the great messages out to his people, to help them to live a good life, to unload the burdens that they carry due to poor decisions. He's teaching. He teaches us the Our Father prayer, the Beatitudes. He teaches us so many things through the Word of God. It's countless. But above all, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, is a shepherd. He's a teacher. He's a leader. And we too must continue to teach. I've seen some masses where the priest gave tremendous homilies, or the pastor in a Christian church gave a tremendous sermon. And then I've seen some services where it was a fairly short message with no inspiration. It didn't do anything for the flock. It didn't lift them up. They were unable to carry something away from the talk. It left them hanging. They needed more. And we as priests and deacons, bishops, need to remember that every opportunity to speak out for the Lord, to capitalize, to close the gap, to deliver the message of the gospel is important. And no opportunity should be left undone. It's very, very critical, not only here in America, but throughout the world, that we give our best as speakers and teachers and preachers and homilists, that we deliver the word the very best way that we can, by preparing and to test it out, to ensure that we understand where we're going with the message. Because like the Lord said, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Many of those sheep attend Mass each and every week and need to be refocused, lifted up. They need to be touched in the heart. We have an opportunity each and every Sunday to do that. And throughout the week, through Holy Spirit Radio, we bring the tremendous Holy Mass from Birmingham, Alabama, to the wonderful priest there, and the Holy Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, great education, motivation. This is important, and one of the great missions that we have here on this radio station. But each and every time, my friends, that you and I have an opportunity to teach the right way to go, to teach the Word of God, to bring the love of God, to deliver the peace of God into the hearts and minds of other people, that opportunity should never be left undone. It has to be delivered. It must be done. We are called to do it. We are all called to be prophets. In Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet, to speak out, to help bring the sheep back to the flock, the fold." We're in formation. And the Lord is our leader. The Lord Jesus Christ and His Father are leading us the right way to go, the best way to go. There is no doubt in my mind, and there should be no doubt in your mind, that the Lord and His Heavenly Father are leading us the right way to go. And as much as we want to be in control and do it our ways, oh yes, because we have a lot of ego and pride as husbands and wives and men and women and sons and daughters. We have a lot of ego and pride as obstinate teenagers growing up, as we learn how to drive a car and get some wheels, that we know what we want to do, and we start to deviate to the left or to the right from what the Lord tells us to do. We've got to do it the Lord's way. We've got to be careful, because things can happen. This past weekend, I attended a graduation from one of the high schools here in Bucks County, at Pensbury High School. And the young lady did just a phenomenal job of graduating. And I applaud her for all of her great work and the awards she received, the grades she got, and all of the opportunities and scholarships that she also had as possibilities for her. And there were a lot of kids there, you know, and there were also kids who had graduated 10 years before who had suffered some of the tragedies of life because of bad decisions, poor decisions, poor friendships, hanging out with the wrong people, being in a circle of influence that's negative versus positive, laziness, not taking ownership of your life and moving forward with the Lord's help, making good things happen. And so as people graduate from high school, where will they be 10 years from today? Will they be experiencing the beautiful things in life or challenged with some of the tragedies that a lot of our kids have to endure? Things they have to undo. It's up to us, my friends, to take the time to ask good questions of our children. Take the time at the dinner table to have conversations without cell phones and tablets, but to pray before each and every meal, to give thanks to God who gives us the breath of life, who gives us the right to wake up every day and to live another day. It's up to you and I, my friends, to uphold the standards in our homes and to not allow those standards to decay or to be redesigned or redefined by anyone who comes into our home through the television, through the computer, through the classrooms that our kids attend. This is important. We're at a time, my friends, where you and I have to do all that we can. And like the Lord, we must give it all to help build up God's kingdom here on earth. We pray this, my friends, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you, and may, through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may you be blessed with the intentions of your heart. And once again, may God bless you and your children, your homes. May He give you great faith, great health. And most of all, may you have peace today. And may you bring that peace into the hearts and minds of all you come in contact with. I ask this today through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Have a great day, my friends, and thank you for listening today. God bless. See you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless. Lord.